In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I'm almost awake. The walk from Kaiser Hall over to here gave me quite a chill, so that helped a little bit. I had an interesting moment approaching the scriptures this week in that my initial step into them became a very different experience as I went through my putting things on paper process. Friday did not go the way I expected it to go. Now, Father Steve will tell you that's actually the way our lives generally go, the way we don't expect them as clergy. But I found myself sitting downtown Tampa, because that's where I needed to be for the moment, and I had some time, and I thought, well, this is where I'm going to work on my sermon. And so I was working with it, and I was, you know, phone calls the other bit, and I decided I need to get up and go walking as I'm reading it, and I just know there's something in this letter from Paul to the church in Philippi that is, it matters deeply to me, but I can't seem to put it together. So I said, well, I'll just get up and get some air, and I'll just go wandering down through the streets of downtown Tampa, because I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, you know, I got that Lenten sin thing in my heart, you know, and I'm going, this is my expertise. I can talk about sin. I got that down. So that's probably one of the reasons I love Lent. And so as I'm walking through this and thinking there's something else here, and the thing that stuck out to me was as he's talking about the enemies of the cross, in verse 19 he says, their end is destruction. And I found comfort because he said it's their end and not mine. And I thought, this passage has more to it, and I couldn't figure it out. So I got up and I go walking. Now, I'm sure most of you haven't had this experience, but if you ever do, I'll be grateful. Walking through downtown Tampa, dressed like I dress, is an experience all in itself. So I'm walking down Kennedy Boulevard, and I'm getting ready to cross the street. And as I cross the street, there's a man on the other side of the street at the other corner. And I look at him, and I just know when I look at him that he spends more time on the street than the rest of us, that he lives there. And my first thought was, although I didn't hesitate, my first thought was I can keep going straight. I don't have to cross here. And I said, and I just smiled and I went, you're walking through downtown Metro Tampa with a collar on. You're not even sure why you're wandering around down here. It was not your plan. So I walked across the street and I met Melvin, who then began to walk with me and talk with me. And as I'm listening to him, I'm beginning to hear things I didn't expect. See, I had an expectation. And my mind was, well, I'm gonna end up talking to this person. That's just the way it's gonna go. And I'm good with that. And then I was starting to formulate how the conversation might go. How might I speak into this man in such a way that maybe when he walks away from this conversation, he has a better understanding of how to walk differently? And we're walking along and we're talking, and of course we're talking about God. And about two blocks in, I've come to the realization Melvin knows God well. So we walk another block on that subject, and then he stops, so I stop. And then we spent at least an hour, maybe more, on that corner talking about God. And I realized early in the conversation that he sees me as something different than I am. He sees a priest, this man in the collar. He continually calls me Father, although I had introduced myself as Brian. He keeps calling me Father, and I have a sense that he thinks we are not equal. And I thought to myself, isn't that exactly what I was thinking when I read Paul's words? Their destruction, not mine. So I gave him my witness. The conversation changed. Visibly, he understood differently that we were very much the same in many ways. So then I was able to share with him very deeply how God had moved me. And he began to share with me how he knows God is going to move him. And then I was able to walk with him a little more and talk deeper into that. And I had been asking very difficult questions. Well, if you know God's calling you to move, why don't you move? He goes, well, they're going to come. It's going to happen. He's going to come for me. I said, what if you have to go to him? What's the next step? And I could see in me and in him, there was a shift and a change. What is this next step? How do we do this thing that God is calling us to and that Paul is reminding us of as the church today, as he reminded the church in Philippi so many years ago? And I think to gather the fullness of it, we have to grasp a little bit of an understanding of what it is Paul's talking about in this portion of his letter, where he is, and my Bible is so gentle to me, it gives me these little breakouts and says, pressing toward the goal. And then this portion of the letter begins. See, Paul is trying to encourage the church to live into the fullness of what it means to be saved by the body and blood of Jesus Christ and to be disciples, those who follow him. And so, pressing towards that goal, I want to back us up to verse 14 in chapter 3. And it says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. There's the goal. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Let us hold fast to what we have attained. And as I'm in this conversation with Melvin, I'm realizing these words have already sunk into me because I'm talking to a brother in Christ. We are in very different places in our lives, although many aspects of our lives we have shared. And I'm trying to say to him, as Paul's saying us today, if you know there's more, come get more. There's another step. Do you know what it is? And in that conversation of pressing into him on that and him pressing into me to hear more of my own journey, I looked at him and I said, well, what is it? Why, if you know God's calling you to other things and you know you need to move towards him, why are we standing here like this today with you in the situation you're in? And he says, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And you're afraid of what? I'm afraid that if I'm not this person that you see, I'm not sure who I am. He was holding on to something of this world, something the world he chose or the world placed on him. And I found myself saying, let it go. I know it's scary. And I shared with him some very scary journeys I've made in my soul and in my life. And I said, but the more we make that journey, the deeper our relationship with Jesus becomes. And that is what Paul is saying. He says, let us hold fast to what we have attained. See, we have this in us already. And now Paul picks up where our lectionary picks up. It says, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction. So he's talking about enemies of the cross. He's talking about the unsaved, the people who haven't heard the gospel. Doesn't mean it hasn't been spoken to them. They just haven't fully heard it yet. And all of us have been in that place, and we will kind of waver in and out of that place during our journey, where we may know the gospel and we understand what the gospel is saying to us, and we hear the grace and mercy that's poured out on us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and yet we stand afraid because we don't know who we might be when we take the step. Even if who we are at the moment is not helpful to ourselves. And even when we know, when we're living as we are, that is not helpful to ourselves, we also are aware that it is not what God wants for us. But we stand in fear. And we all have our moment. And if you're like me, you've maybe stepped over that moment and then stepped back into it. And then you step out again. Because what we're trying to do is hold fast to that, what we have already attained, as Paul is saying. And when we begin to do this, and our relationship with Jesus grows into a deeper place, and we hear Paul say, imitate. He's talking to the church, imitate what we're doing, brothers and sisters. Join in imitating me, he says, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. He's saying, we are imitating Christ to the best of their ability. And he's saying, if you can't imitate Christ, imitate us. And the depth of the way in which he's imitating Christ comes out, because his feelings toward these people who are perceived as enemies of the cross, it's not this, as I first was feeling when I read this passage, thank God it's not me. They're the ones who will have destruction, because I'm over on this side. Thinking maybe my sin is not so bad anymore, so to speak. And I can look at it, and any time I think I'm doing really well, the Lord usually shows me otherwise. But let's be honest. How often have we done not our best? And the way in which we decide that it's going to be okay is we see somebody who's worse. See, the message I'm getting from Paul today is that it's not an imitation of Christ. See, what Paul is saying is he, with tears, speaks of these people. With tears, he speaks of them. His heart is broken. His heart is broken because Jesus' heart is broken. He weeps for us. He gave his life for us. He didn't say, you should be as good as I am. He says, I see how broken you are. And I'm here with you. And I feel the pain of your brokenness. That's how Paul moved himself in that imitation of Christ. And he says to the church, imitate me. So when we see ourselves and we try to justify our behavior by going to, say, someone who is doing worse than we are, we're missing the mark, brothers and sisters. Paul would say, you may see these people as enemies of the cross, and they may be their own destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But he says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, beloved. In this way. This concept of what we gain in our life is ours is so pressed into us in this country, most especially. We need to start to hear more clearly what it is Paul is saying. I need to hear more clearly what it is Paul is saying. I need to move away from the theme that we hear in the Finding Nemo movie when the seagulls come in and they're saying, mine, 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 mine. That is the world we live in, yes? You should gain everything for you. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving everything to you so that you can give it to others. And we in our world, because it just presses in from all sides, very often get this faith, we claim this faith in Jesus Christ, and we go, mine, 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 mine. And Paul is saying to the church, not yours. If it's just yours, you're just going to look at the people who don't have it and go, you should get yours. No. If we really got it, if we really understand, if we are living fully into what he is saying, that which we have attained, this salvation through Jesus Christ, if that is true for us, if we truly understand what it means to be saved from our sin and our brokenness and our sorrow and our pain and our shame and whatever it is and however it came upon us, if that is true for us, when we see someone who is still struggling that way, brothers and sisters, we should weep. Not for them, but with them. To come alongside someone in that place, as Jesus has done for us, and recognizing through that we have been saved, he is saying to us, as Paul clarifies, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The heavenly call in God through Christ Jesus is to be imitators of Christ in this world. We won't save anybody. But our witness to our own salvation may point someone to the Savior. Amen? That is the call. So when we see somebody hurting and weeping, it's okay to go and be with them. I was reflecting on some of this during Bible study between services, which is not always a good thing. And I was remembered of a conversation I have with a family member often as they discover how my week has gone from time to time. And their response is, I don't know how you do it. Well, I've walked with some of you in your pain. I do it by weeping with you when you're weeping and laughing when you're laughing, rejoicing when you're rejoicing, lamenting when you lament. Is it exhausting? Sometimes. Would I walk away from it? Never. This following Jesus, so that we can be perpetually filled with this inner happiness, is not how I know my Jesus. The Jesus I know says, I gave you everything I have. My very life, my very body and blood. You have attained your salvation. What I ask in return is give yourself to my people so that they may see me.